It's The Record. Yesterday, we talked about King County Metro raising their bus fares to avoid service cuts. In the Puget Sound region, we're familiar with buses and streetcars, the usual forms of public transit. It can be hard to get people to ride in the bus. They're just not terribly exciting.
So how about this? Kirkland is considering gondolas instead. Not the kind that float on the water, though, frankly, that's what I thought when I first read it, and I was thinking we could
have gondolas on Lake Washington.
Oh, come on.
I'm there.
Guys singing and in the striped
shirt. But that's not what it is.
No. Gondolas that fly passengers through the air. Kirkland's city manager, Kurt Triplett, is pretty excited about the idea.
You know, it's a really intriguing idea to look at it as something that would complement or connect to a light rail spine. Other fascinating part of this is it could be relatively iconic. And if you think about, if you're riding from Bellevue 100 feet up down to downtown Kirkland and then over to Totem Lake, you're going to have these spectacular views of the Olympic Mountains and Lake Washington on one side and the Cascade Mountains and Lake Sammamish on the other side. And, you know, it'd be a tremendously fun ride, not just a utilitarian ride. It would be, I think, really cool.
That's Kurt Triplett. By the way, Ross, do you recall that Ken Vincent, our colleague, proposed to have gondolas all over downtown Seattle, Queen Anne to Capitol Hill?
A man always ahead of his time, Ken Vincent.
All right, well, Kirkland or Ken Vincent, not the first to experiment with these air gondolas. Their gondola system's up and running or being planned in Europe and South America. Portland, Oregon has a gondola or air tram taking commuters between Oregon State University Hospital and the city's South Waterfront. Brett Dodson oversees its operation. Hello, Brett Dodson.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for talking to us. You've had the air tram for 6 years. So overall, how's it going?
Extremely successful. You know, we're moving people every day, and we love it.
How many people commute on the air tram?
So we're moving about 7,000 people a day, Monday through Friday, on the air tram.
You ride it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I ride my bike into work, and then instead of climbing the hill on my bike, I use the tram to get up top.
So you ride your bike into the bottom, and then you take it to the top. Yeah, that would be quite a bike ride up to the top of that hill. Did you used to do it?
I did. Yeah, I used to do it some, but having the tram in just makes it a lot easier and a much more fun commute.
Now you're looking down into people's backyards. Some of those people didn't like that initially when that tram was built, right?
Yeah, and you know, we made some design changes to the tram. We etched the glass at the bottom part, so we really don't look in, you know, right down on people's backyards and in windows, and really focus to try to get the view out over the city and over the Cascades.
So how long is the tram? How long is that ride?
So it's it's under a 5-minute ride.
And it was could have been 20 minutes if you drove it, and I imagine even longer if you're riding your bike that way.
Yeah, yeah, it's still a 15 to 20-minute drive. If traffic's good, if traffic's bad, it can take up to 40 minutes versus a 5-minute ride. So it's much more efficient to take the tram than it is to try to drive up and down the hill.
What doesn't work so well?
You know, so far we haven't had any issues. You know, it's ran. It runs even in the winds when people get worried about it. You know, we actually, our main transit agency directs traffic if we've got ice or snow on the roads, and we actually use the tram and run it 24 hours a day just to service the hill when cars and buses can't get up the hill. So it just works perfect at all conditions.
Now, initial cost estimates for the tram were much lower than they ended up being. Some people claimed that was a deliberate move on the part of the mayor in order to get this thing pushed through. Why did you have such disparate cost estimates to the final cost?
You know, the initial cost estimates were, I think they hadn't really looked at all the details that were going to go into building the tram in the location we wanted. You know, one, putting a base tower down at the bottom along a river, which, you know, the soil wasn't great for it, so we had to go a lot deeper than we thought there. And then up on the hill, they didn't think about the microsurgeries that were going to happen within the hospital. And so instead of attaching to the hospital buildings up top, we actually had to isolate that and not let any vibrations get through over to the hospital surgery areas. That really changed the build of the platforms and the destinations on the tram, which drove up costs quite a bit.
How did you pay for the gondola, Brett Dodson? How did you pay for those overruns in Portland?
You know, it was a combination of the city and then private funding that took care of that as they escalated. It was kind of between both entities.
Which was higher? Did you have to pay a lot more in taxes, or did you raise most of it through private funding?
Most of it through private fund.
Really? Who who donated? What kind of people would donate?
Most of it came from Oregon Health Sciences University.
I see.
So the institution kicked in a lot for that on the shortfalls.
I see. Also, did you find that you were asking people the right questions or the wrong questions in terms of what they wanted and how you were building it?
You know, a lot of effort went into, you know, they made an early decision that it was going to be not only just a tram, but they wanted it to be an iconic thing of the city. And so, you know, it was kind of that it needed to be a big mark, and there was a lot of intent went into the design and the look of it versus just being a tram in the air. And so there was a lot of public opinion and a lot of design information that went into that and creativity, which it was good, but it definitely it got the city involved with the tram from the very beginning because of it.
What was the final cost? Close to $60
million? Yeah, $57
million. What's your advice for Kirkland?
I think it really, where the cost came in is where the destinations and each end of that tram was at really drove cost because of what was picked and where the site was at. So that's what's going to drive a majority of the cost and what it attaches to and how those ends tie in. And so it's really looking at that and making sure that makes sense. The tram has been so successful now. We've got a new light rail bridge that's coming in right at the base of it, basically. We've got streetcar and trolley lines that have been added. And so it's really becoming a transportation hub for the entire city.
Are there plans to expand the tram in other directions from the top of that hill?
No, not currently. We're just focused on we've got the capacity on the tram, so we're focused on transportation in and out of the bottom of it. We're expanding our bike lanes. We've got a bike valet area at the bottom. And now we've got new light rail and new streetcar lines that are going in. So the feeling isn't we need a new tram. It's just that we need other transportation to get you from the bottom and out beyond that.
Brett Dodson, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Brett Dodson is operations manager for the Portland Air Tram. Kirkland is looking at that idea. This is The Record from KUOW.